John 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. That's your memory verse. And what it's about in 3 John is leadership. And who do you follow and who's in charge? And every time I think of this and we think of the lesson, I want you to understand the application is God's will for us is to grow in the Lord and to follow those that are walking in truth. If they're not walking in truth, don't follow them. We should strive in our own lives to develop leadership qualities so that we can be the best leader possible following the Lord. And early on, Judy and I, when we raised our kids, we tried to teach them, someone is always following you. Someone's always following you. I can, the cutest thing with that is that, you know, little kids, they turn around and I can remember Keelan, who has got a very strong personality. I love her to death, okay? But when she was little, she was afraid of our dog. We turned around and, you know, you have to teach a dog dominance. So we put the dog on its back, put it on its back, and had Keelan come over, and she stood over the dog, pushed down on the dog's belly and said, I'm the boss of you. I'm the boss of you. I'm the boss of you. And the dog learned his position, but she then realizes that now that you're over him, you have a responsibility to treat him right and to protect him because he's just a dog and you're a very smart little girl. Yes, Papa. Then Kent came and her attitude was, put him back in. I don't want him. And she met in the belly when she saw him. Said, he's ugly and I don't want him. Honey, but he's your little brother and he's going to learn from you. All right, Papa. And she's very hard on her brother, 16 and 19. She just turned 19. He's 16. He'll turn 17 in February, March. I think it's March. It could be end of February, beginning of March. Yes, I don't know all the anniversaries and birthdays of everybody in our family. My helpmeet does. Okay, and she does a calendar up for me. Guys, get your wives to do a calendar so you can act like you know what you're talking about when you don't. Make sure that when they go Christmas shopping and they buy gifts for somebody, that they let you know what it is so you can say, I bought that for you. I know what that is. And they go, thank you, Dad, or thank you, Papa. Yeah, Grandma and I spent a lot of time thinking about this, okay? But you got to remember that someone is always following you. The Apostle Paul, it's one of the verses we'll look at later, said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. The husband's supposed to be the head of the home. Women, you got to be real careful when you get married to make sure that you have somebody who is willing to lead with love. I didn't say dominate, and I didn't say, because, you know, there's basically three types of leaders in the home. There's the biblical leader. There's the selfish know-it-all, it's about me leader. And then there's the non-leader who leaves all the decisions up to the wife and then when he doesn't like it, complains. All right? Well, guess what? Jesus Christ teaches us about leadership. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Learn to be the servant of all. And Jesus was a servant leader, and he taught them that. He led by example. When the Apostle Paul truly got saved and grew in the Lord, he did the same thing. He said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. If you can't follow the pastor of the church you're in, talk to him, find out what the problem is, because it may be your problem, it may be his problem. But if you decide you can't sit underneath him, don't stay there and attack his leadership. Okay? Because It says, obey them that have rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Amen? So we're going to look at the lesson this morning, and it's on leadership. And the Apostle John, by the inspiration of God, is dealing with three men. Dealing with beloved Gaius. He's dealing with Diotrephes, and he's dealing with Demetrius. And you see three different things about leadership with them. And let's just, it's a short letter, so let's read it. The elder, that's the Apostle John, this is written about 90 AD, probably from the Isle of Patmos or just before that. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I want you to know that's how I pray for you. That you can be prosperous spiritually first, emotionally second, and physically third. Because it goes spirit, soul, and body. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. The main thing pointed to in this epistle, six times the word truth appears. That's going to be the issue. Yea, let God be true and every man a... Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said to those Jews that were following him, if you continue in my word, ye shall be my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And it's always based on the truth. And so he's talking about, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is probably someone that the Apostle John led to the Lord. He's calling them his children. Same as Paul talked, he says, my little children, I have begotten you in the gospel. You ought to be able to, in your life, have led people to the Lord. When you do, you have a spiritual responsibility to live in such a way so that they can follow you. Soul winning is not a gift, it's a command. Some plant, some water, God granteth the increase. But you should be actively witnessing to others and letting your life be a testimony before them, so that they can be followers of you as you are of Christ. Whether it's in the home, mom and dad, or whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in the community with your neighbors, they ought to be able to look at you and say, something's different about them. Something's different about them. They have something that's missing in my life. See, on some have compassion making a difference. Others hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Okay? So he says, he hears the children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Okay? So he's given a testimony about Gaius, and he says, which have borne witness of thy what? Charity. God's love flowing through him. Before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. If you're helping them along the way to grow in the Lord, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the what? They entertained the preachers, the evangelists. Maybe the other apostles came and stayed. I don't know. It talks about them going forward. And they didn't take anything. You remember the apostle Paul did what? He was a tent maker. He didn't take money from those Gentile churches. They started. When you give, and we help the missionaries on their way, Jen and Sutton is going to be looking to come down right now. This morning, if you could pray for her, Matt Sutton's grandma's dying. He's up in Alaska. His mom is coming. They were supposed to come in tomorrow. Jacob and I have a very close relationship, their oldest son. And he comes in, he wants to see Pastor and the girls. They want to see Judy. Jen wants to be able to see Judy. And Pastor Kinney's their pastor now, but there's a connection to us because when they came together when I was pastor and helped them with some things. And Matt has followed some things that he learned from me. So they were going to come in, and then she sent a text. She's, I feel so bad. We were coming down, and now maybe we can't come. I need to be able to be here. Matt wants me to have the kids have as much time with their great-grandma as possible, with their grandma and their great-grandma. And Judy's going, honey, do what you need to do. God's in control. Do what's best for your family and listen to your husband. She wanted to come down. They were going to be staying in the missions trailer. But you say, you know what happens? That missions trailer is there. And decisions were made by the pastor before me, because that's when that place was put there, and how it would be used, how it was used through when I was the pastor and the deacons understand we made decisions. Now it's being made by Pastor Kenny, and it's open, and we help people all the time. That's been a haven for abused people. It's been a haven for missionaries. It's been a haven for evangelists who come, and even when they're not preaching here, stay there. So you know what we are? We're fellow helpers. When you give to pay the bills and it pays for the lights and the heat in that missions trailer, you're helping missionaries. Didn't you realize that? I'm not even talking about you giving to missions. I'm talking about your tithes, because that's what pays for that. Doesn't come out of missions. You're fellow helpers to the ministry of God. I bet you some of you have never even thought about it that way. When you give faithfully, God is blessed. And He pours His blessing through us into us, that He might be a blessing to others. That's what charity is about. Okay? So it says it's charity there. So you see His leadership example. Wherefore we ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. So you see the first leader. And it says, and I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have preeminence among them, receiveth us not. There's been people who come through, they always got to have attention paid to them. Always got to have, you know, did you see this? Did you see that? I did this, I did that. I give more than others, you know. Why can't people work as hard as I work? There's been people like that in a church. I'm telling you right now, there's no one sitting in here this morning that's that way. But there's normally a Diotrephes that comes in any church. Probably Colonel Thomas has probably been in more churches around the country than the rest of us. There's always a Diotrephes, isn't there? Yes, there is. And you know what it is? It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And it says He loveth the preeminence. I don't know why I'm not on the deacon's board. I can do a better job than them. Who loveth the preeminence among them receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember His deeds which He doeth, prating against us with malicious words. You know how that happens in a church? When you give special, and not to everybody, prayer requests. I don't want to say anything, but we need to pray for, because you know what they're doing? Malicious words covered up in Christian speak. We need to be careful. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. There was a man who came. He's now passed away. Thank God he never joined. He started just at the end of Pastor Christian, and he tried to gain emphasis, and he'd like to turn around. Didn't give all year long. But then all of a sudden, if an evangelist came that he'd like, he'd put this great big check in, and then he'd make sure that everyone knew he gave this big amount. But you know what he said? I don't believe in missionaries. They should go on the field and go get a job, pay for themselves. I pay for myself, having no understanding how it works around the world. Many times, when they can work, they do work. But they also need to be about the Father's business. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So you have Gaius, then you have Diotrephes, then you have the third one. And it says, Demetrius hath good report of who? And also of what? Truth itself. He was living as such that he wasn't violating the revealed word of God. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But trust that I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Gaius was a great leader. He was greatly and deeply loved by John. He lived for Christ, and it became evident in his actions. He was a good leader who could be followed for several different reasons. Okay? One, he was well beloved. That means more than one person showed love to him. You know how that works? When you love others, they love you back. Some people think that love is a closed loop. You only have so much to give. So if I give love to this other person, Christian love, there won't be any to give to my family. There won't be any love to give here. You know what love is? It's something that when it's given, it always grows. When you don't give it, it's dying. It's dying. Okay? He was well beloved. Verse 1. Elder unto well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. They tend to love those who are loving and caring. Okay, are you someone that's well-beloved? One of the people held up as one of the greatest of all the Bible in the Old Testament was Daniel. Watch this. We're coming back to 3 John. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. This is spoken of by probably the angel Gabriel, spoken of by an angel in answer to the sincere, earnest, self-denying prayer life of Daniel, who's come before God to understand something. Yea, while I was speaking, verse 21, in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, his prayers, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art what? Greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. You want your prayers answered? Live in a manner that you can be called beloved, greatly beloved. People know whether it's selfishness or not. Look at verse 11 of chapter 10, Daniel. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. This is the angel Gabriel speaking. A man greatly beloved. That means God in heaven had given the angels an understanding of Daniel's life. O O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words they speak to thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. Look at verse 19, same chapter. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. You should live your life that you can be beloved, not just tolerated, okay? He had a healthy soul and a spirit. Gaius did back in 3 John, right? He's telling them in verse 5, Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers. Verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health physically as thy soul prospers. Okay, he had a healthy soul and spirit. John hints towards the idea that Gaius may have been in poor health, and he's praying for him. A good leader can even lead when there are physical hindrances. Physical hindrances. There's a quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. When he came into the National Football League, he was called... the term, it's the last person drafted. Mr. Non-essential, Mr. Non-consequential, or, you know, he's a throw-in. He means nothing. Because he went to a small school. And he's not 6'5". He's not built like the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. He's about 6'1", 6'2", not a small guy. But they found he had something in him, in leadership qualities, in a humility about him, that he ended up becoming the quarterback his first year in the league. And he's led them to, they haven't won the Super Bowl, but he's led them to the championship game in his division, in the NFC. You know how he lives his life? They ask him in interviews after the game when he's done really well, and he says, first and foremost, I want to give glory to my God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's humble, but confident, and can be followed. Can he throw the ball as far as some? No. Can he run as fast as some? No. But he has something that gives him leadership qualities, and he can lead a team, and they found out that's the most important thing for a quarterback. He can have all the physical talents in the world. He can look great. He can be handsome. He can have shoulders and a neck, and he can have a square jaw and beautiful eyes. But you know what? The physical doesn't matter as much as what's inside. What's inside you this morning? A good leader can, even when there's problems, okay, they can see that and follow. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul's testimony. I'll start at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? And patient worketh what? And experience worketh what? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given us. A confident level, because God's love allows them to have a testimony even when they're going through it. That's when your faith is being tested. It's easy to live on the mountaintop and say, praise God. It's harder when you're in the valley, whether it's family problems, whether it's physical problems, whether it's financial problems, whether you're under spiritual attack. But that's when your faith shows itself. You quit and you go on. Back in our text, verse 3, he says, "And I greatly rejoice when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth." So he had a good testimony among the brethren. Others had told John that Gaius was walking in the truth. Is that what other people say of you? Other believers? Because, you know, the world's going to say bad things about you anyways. Right? Do you realize that Michael and I are Trump zealots? We're preaching Jesus Christ on the street corner in Wolcott yesterday. And this guy, he had trouble in his life. He looked like he was a refugee, probably a disgruntled vet from the Vietnam era. You know what I'm saying? Long hair and a ponytail down the middle of his back. He's staying at the Wolcott Hotel, so that tells me he doesn't have his act together, because that place is for day-to-day and week-to-week rentals, and it's where the corrections facilities release some people to. And he's yelling at him as he's preaching on the corner. And of course, I can't shut up. And I yelled over to him, I can't remember, "Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners." You know, and he goes, "Yeah, and you're all, you must love Trump, don't you? You're Trump supporters." And I'm going, "No, we're Jesus supporters, and we're here to preach Jesus to you." And as he turned around, he's yelling, he's going, "Yeah, well, if you support Trump and you people, you're all always Trump supporters, that means you're for slavery." And I'm going, "If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And he walks around and goes into the hotel. So I don't worry what the laws think about me, as long as I'm not doing wrong. If I'm doing wrong, they're going to judge you quick. But when you're doing right and they don't like it, if a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies shall be what? At peace with him. You know what there wasn't yesterday in Wolcott? We finally outlasted them. There was no blasting music coming from the hotel and the speakers there. I mean, I could hear every preacher on the corners. I could hear Mike Lang, and he is not vociferous in his street preaching. Okay? And Michael, I thought he was going to blow his voice out. That's the loudest. He says, "I've been louder when I'm preaching." I said, "Yeah, but that's in church. You're on the street corner now." He was pushing with his chest voice. Amen? So, and we had people on every corner. Howard Bacon got to give away the most tracts. He was standing outside the Mexican store on the opposite corner from the thing. They take tracts. One Hispanic man went in, took a tract. You watch him read it. He comes back out 20 minutes later, and he'd bought a bottle of water for everybody who was on the corner. He wanted to help us. You know what he was? He was a fellow helper. Amen? So we had this good example. That's a great example for us today. Now, you say, how does that work? I believe it's still used in our addictions program. Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perisheth. Gaius had the testimony like someone from Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Can you say that's true of you? They have to learn Psalm 1 still, don't they, Larry? Yep, they have to learn it because you have to learn to change your stinking thinking. You have to be seen differently. Don't judge yourself by what you think of yourself. Judge yourself by what the Lord thinks of you first, in obedience to Him, and then what others who love the Lord think of you. Standeth not in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the scornful. How is your leadership? Would it benefit someone else to follow you? If not, change it. Change it. Even a child is known by his doings. Change it. Lord, I won't continue doing that. I'm going to guard my tongue more. Lord, I'm going to help people. I'm not going to make it about me. I'm going to try to help them. Lord, I'm praying for my neighbor, so I want opportunity to be able to witness to them. Judy and I pray every morning for Mike and I's neighbor and his wife. We pray for them by name. Pray for opportunity to talk to them about Christ. Have a good relationship with him so far. He has some spiritual understanding. He hasn't come out and told me that he's born again. So I keep throwing a little witness in. We get a chance to see him. Is he at my house all the time? No. But you know what he knows? If he's away at work and his wife has a problem, she can run to our house and she's safe. Men, do you know that? Is your home such a place that another person would come to your house because of the way you treated your wife and children in front of them, that they know that they would be safe? Because that's the thing that's important to women, is that emotional and the physical security. Can they be protected? Be you followers of me as I am of Christ. Every man, every woman, every teenager, every child should learn that there's someone following them. Someone's always watching you. Secondly, we have Diotrephes, who's so proud he can't handle things when it doesn't go his way, so he's going to pull the other people down. He was a bad leader in the church. And John's saying, I'm going to deal with him when I come there, face to face. He lived for himself, causing all kinds of trouble in the church. He was a leader who should not have been followed for several reasons. He loved the preeminence. Loved the preeminence. He made it about him. Jesus taught that biblical leadership is servant leadership. He washed the disciples' feet. He put their need ahead of his pain. When he cried out, if it be possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Knowing what he was facing, he did it to lead others to the Father. He made a way. The only way I'm going to heaven is not because of me, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So he wanted preeminence. It tells us that in verse 9. Who loveth that preeminence among them, among the believers, and he won't receive the Apostle John. The beloved disciple? Preeminence means to have first place. He took glory away from Jesus. In And he is the head of the body, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, this is speaking of Jesus, he might have preeminence. Jesus should have preeminence over every man and woman, every father and mother, every husband and wife. That threefold cord will keep you together. When husband and wife sometimes don't agree, Jesus is the cord that keeps them. Amen? My wife has been, we're trying to help somebody. She's talking to someone yesterday about that very thing. My father wasn't saved until I led him to the Lord. He destroyed the marriage that he had, was in for 37 years by serial adultery. My mother loved the Lord. She prayed every day for her kids. I got one sibling who's not saved out of eight. He knows the truth, can't see it. He's caught up in his religion. But my dad, until he got saved, made it about him. Taking glory away from the one who's supposed to have preeminence. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of who? Amen. You still with me? One, he loved the preeminence. Two, he didn't receive and submit to the authority of John, verse 9, right? And receiveth us not. In the hierarchy of who God gave to help the church, the body of Christ, to grow, it says, and he gave some apostles. They had seen Christ. They were given specific powers. They suffered more and did more. He was at 90 AD when this was written. He was the only apostle still alive of the original 12. The rest had been martyred. Do you know he was thrown in boiling oil and he didn't die? And then he was put on the Isle of Patmos and was a prisoner there when he wrote the book of Revelation? And Diotrephes wanted preeminence over him? I don't mean this in a bad way, but you know everybody knows how to be a pastor till they become a pastor. And then they go, what on earth did I get into? I was a second man for a long time under Pastor Christian. I supported him. I learned from him. I learned a lot of things. Your pastor, up until my last concussion, kept saying, 5 more years, preacher. You can get 5 more years. And I said, no, I'm not hurting this church. It's time. He's the pastor. We have an unusual relationship because normally it doesn't work the way you're seeing it work here. That's because I don't love the preeminence. He didn't love the preeminence. But we have to take the responsibility to be servant leaders. I've had some very good friends in the ministry that learned that. Some of you love them. Jeff Carpenter. Didn't love the preeminence, but was a servant leader. He loved the preeminence, so he rebelled against God's leadership, didn't receive authority. Obey them that have rule over you, for they watch for your souls. Doesn't mean we're dictators. It means God holds us accountable for you. Okay? He didn't receive the authority. He rejected God's leadership, and he was divisive and dividing. It said he prated against John, verse 10, with malicious words. Be very careful. There's a thing in the Bible that says those words that go out, they come back upon you, back to you. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Be able to say, I made a mistake, please forgive me. I did wrong, please forgive me. I wasn't thinking right about that, please forgive me. You notice I didn't say there? Please forgive me, but you did this, this, and this. because that's not real repentance. It's like, whatever it is, can you forgive me? I will try to respond biblically in a better manner than what I have when I reacted. Because we all put our socks on the same way, right? 1 foot at a time. Even when ladies put on stockings, they don't throw those stockings up in the air, jump, and come down inside those stockings. I can't get used to wearing little short socks. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with the message. But you know the anklet socks? I always thought they were women's socks, and now my sons tell me, Dad, you're outdated. I put them on one at a time still. Okay, so he used malicious words. He used hateful words against John. He forbid other church members to welcome other Christian ministers passing through, verse 10. He was given preeminence. Some people push even when they're wrong, and they're given, people acquiesce to them because it's strong. You ought to watch and see if it's strong in the Lord or not. And so it kept them from having a blessing. Emmanuel is thriving differently than a lot of churches simply because of your hearts willing to give, willing to follow, willing to tell, willing to support missionaries, willing to make sure that there's a trailer or a home people can come through. Willing to pray. Because it's not about us. He even kicked people out of the church if they were hospitable. 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, just back a couple pages. It says, watch this. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. We believe that the coming of Christ is coming sooner, right? Therefore, be sober, watch unto prayer. And above all things, have what? Fervent charity, that love of God flowing through you, among yourselves. For charity shall cover what? Because we all have sins. We are saints who sin. You're not sinners who sin anymore, because a saint is someone declared righteous by God. And if you're saved, you've been declared what? Righteous by God. Cover a multitude of sins. Look at verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without what? Grudging. Diotrephes was very jealous of other people. We won't turn there, but for the sake, I want you to understand the Song of Solomon in chapter 8 and verse 6. It says, jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Another place says, who can stand before envy? That's what he suffered with. It was about him. Diotrephes had many evil deeds because of that. He didn't try to help believers along the way. He didn't try to help the outreach to a lost and dying world. He made it about himself. Is that someone you'd like to follow? It can happen in a church. Christians should always be in prayer for the church and its leaders. Sam Gipp will say, I love your money. Buy my books. I take care of my wife and my family, but I covet your prayers. He has so much damage in his body, the minute people stop praying for him, he's out of the ministry. And he's been struggling recently with his pain level going up. See, when you have a bunch of surgeries, you go so far, and then the arthritis, everything takes over, and the next thing you know, you can't turn your head, or the headache is pounding. Or the foolish stuff you did when you were in your teen years, in your 20s, in your 30s. I'm warning you, even in your 40s, even in your 50s, catches up to you. And the old gray mayor, what you used to be. People ask me, how you doing? I said, got out of bed this morning. On my own 2 feet. I can still tie my own shoes. You ever realize that? That's a major feat when your child first learns to tie his shoes. She ties her shoes by herself. And then it becomes a major feat when you get older. That's why they made Velcro shoes. That's supposed to be a joke. Sorry joke. Checking his shoes. The last one is pleasing Demetrius. Demetrius, like Gaius, was another godly leader in that same church, and in spite of Diotrephes, he still stood his ground for what was right and was one to be followed. He had three strong leadership qualities. You ready? Demetrius hath a good report of all men. That's outward testimony. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. He had a testimony before all men, a good report, and of the truth. He had a testimony for the truth. That's somebody who was obedient to the word of God. He walked in truth, and people heard and saw it in his life. He was also, watch this, the truth itself, yea, we also bear record, and we know that our record is true. He was highly esteemed by other leaders, John himself, the apostle. John put his stamp of approval on Demetrius and promoted him. You see that? Can leaders of the church trust you? What are you doing to be an example like Demetrius? Sometimes it's hard because we have people in this church that are able and worthy, but the timing's just not there yet. And it's not because they don't fit. I think it's a healthy church that has many men who can be deacons. Many men who can serve in different areas of the ministry. We have people in this church who serve in ways that quietly that most of you don't know about. Okay? That's a healthy church. The women don't do everything in this church. They do a lot, but they don't do everything. I've seen Baptist churches where the women have to do all the work and they're trying to find a man so they could put somebody, so they got somebody on the deacon board who's a deacon. Because there's no such thing as a deaconess in the Bible. If I offend you, I'm sorry. Biblical truth. Okay? John put a stamp of approval on him. He promoted him. He's promoting him. In other words, he's putting him forth unto Gaius, who is one of the leaders in the church. Can the church leaders trust you? And are you setting an example like Demetrius? Three different leaders. Beloved Gaius, Diotrephes, who loved preeminence, and Demetrius, who John was promoting to Gaius because he loved the truth, loved the brethren, and was serving in faith. All God's people said.